welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, Mike.
For people with chronic coronary syndrome, we also call this stable angina, we work hard to alleviate their symptoms and decrease the risk of any kind of adverse cardiovascular outcome, things like death or heart failure or myocardial infarction. And there are a host of medications that can improve both the quality and perhaps the quantity of someone's life. Revascularization with either a coronary artery bypass graft, we often call this CABBAGE, or percutaneous coronary interventions, PCI, as opposed to continuing medical therapy without revascularization, is indicated in two groups of stable patients: patients with specific high-risk anatomy and patients who are not tolerating their medical therapy well or want to increase their activity level. You found a poem. It was published in the New England Journal of Medicine toward the end of 2023. For listeners that want to go, starts on page 2319. It attempts to answer the question, does a percutaneous coronary intervention reduce the symptoms of stable angina compared with placebo procedure in patients who are not taking anti-anginal medications? Mark, what do they teach us?
Yeah, this was really interesting. So this was a UK group, I believe, and the trial is called, the original trial is called Orbita. And in that one, they compared PCI with a sham procedure. So they actually cath the person, but just didn't do, they just looked at the blockage. They didn't do anything to it in half the patients. And they found no additional benefit over maximal guideline-directed anti-anginal medications. Now, not everybody can tolerate those medicines or achieve it. And so they went back and did the Orbita 2 trial, which is what we're going to talk about here. So they recruited patients with stable angina, and they had severe stenosis in at least one vessel. They had evidence of ischemic changes on functional tests. They asked them then to stop taking the anti-anginal medications that were working, by the way. And they also switched any antihypertensives that were also anti-anginal, like calcium channel blockers or beta blockers, and replaced them with alternates like an ACE inhibitor. They could continue to get dual antiplatelet agents, clopidogrel, aspirin, that kind of thing, and statins, which makes sense. They're not anti-anginal strictly. So during a two-week run-in period, they had to have angina at least once during that run-in period, and that left 300 people who were randomized to either PCI or a sham procedure. Then they followed them for about 3 months, and they had the patients report any anginal symptoms in a daily diary. So at baseline, they were about 64 years old, 80% were men, about a quarter had diabetes, about 80% had single vessel and 20% multiple vessel disease, and most had moderate to severe angina, so pretty symptomatic group. The median number of stents that they implanted when they did the PCI was 2. After 12 weeks, though, the mean weekly number of angina episodes was significantly lower in the PCI group, about two versus five episodes per week. And the angina symptom score was also about half as high, 2.9 versus 5.6. Those both significantly favored PCI, both clinically and statistically. They appeared to have successfully masked the patients because they didn't, when they asked them later on, they were no good at picking which group they were in. So bottom line, in patients with stable angina who aren't taking anti-anginal medications, PCI is effective. It still doesn't change the original study's findings that if someone is able to tolerate those anti-anginal medicines, and most patients do, you know, most patients can take beta blockers and calcium channel blockers and those kind of agents, that for those who can't tolerate it, that PCI does have a benefit. So it's not certainly applying to everybody. It's not saying PCI is needed for everybody. Quite the opposite. It's really trying to find, is there a group that does benefit?
Very, very interesting. A nice, clear explanation on your behalf. You know, I sort of, when I read this, was sort of left scratching my head about the ethics of having people.
Yeah, you got to wonder, right?
Anyways,
you're doing really well on your anti-angiogenic medications. We're going to take them away from you and see what happens.
Right.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't sign up for that study. I mean, yeah, thanks. No, thanks. And yeah, I was talking to some colleagues and they're like, yeah, I can't think of a whole lot of my patients who haven't tolerated these. They mostly tolerate them fine. I mean, you know, I take a beta blocker for another indication and never noticed any issue with it. Calcium channel blockers are, I think, famously pretty well tolerated. They may cause a little edema in some folks, but, you know, generally they're pretty well tolerated.
Thanks, Mark. A very good study. A nice review. We'll talk with you again in a week.
Sounds good.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.